Our New Testament reading this morning is Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And so John came, baptizing the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you in water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from the heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Now we move to our Old Testament reading, which is actually the one that Mark quotes. This is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 8. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, 'In the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God.' Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain be made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places of pain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, 'Cry out,' and I said, 'What shall I cry?' All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Madeline. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for these words from Isaiah and from Mark. We thank you for your invitation for us to gather. Help us to hear your word for us this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So yesterday, Nate and I took a little bit of time. We were watching a sitcom on TV or on Netflix. And one of the things, of course, about streaming services is you can watch many episodes in a row. Gone are the days where you had to wait a whole week to see what was going to happen next on your favorite show. And so we were watching away, and I told him, "All right, this is the last episode, and then we're going to go do something else." And it finishes, and I say, "Okay, let's turn it off." And he says, "We can't stop it. It's a cliffhanger. We have to find out what happens next." And so, of course, we watch one more episode because we have to find out what happens next. Some of us don't like the suspense, right? For some people, they want to know it's going to, at least they want to know it's going to end happily. They want to know it's a good ending before they go through the rest. But for others, the suspense is the fun. So this week, I was listening to Commotion on CBC, and they had a panel talking about the Deadpool and Wolverine movie that has been done hugely well over this summer. And they're trying to talk about it with no spoilers. Right? So they're trying to talk about this movie that is full of surprise cameos and all of these things without talking about any of them at all, which meant they ended up saying very little about the movie. So some people, they live for no spoilers, right? And if they see something, they might avoid the internet or other places until they get to see something for themselves while others want to know. So I'm going to do a quick show of hands. How many of you are in the no spoilers category? You like the suspense and that's part of the fun. All right, how many of you like to know the ending before you see the rest of it? Or it doesn't bother you too much? All right, We're more of the no-spoiler side. Some people are a bit of both. Maybe it depends on the context, which is fair. So, when we go to the Gospels, Luke's the no-spoilers guy, right? If you want to see the story unplay from beginning to end, not knowing what's going to come, you go to Luke. When he starts, right, he's writing for a guy named Theophilus who has asked him to chronicle the life of Jesus. This is how he starts. He says, you have heard about the things that have been fulfilled. How's that for no spoilers, right? Those things that have been fulfilled, that's what we're going to talk about. And in fact, it takes him 30 verses before we hear about Jesus at all, before the angels tell Mary what they're going to name their child. Instead, he says, okay, we're going to talk about these things that have been fulfilled. Let me introduce you to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And eventually, of course, he gets to Jesus. Mark is the let me tell you the end of the story guy before we get any further. Right in verse 1, he is not holding anything back, right? The way he introduces his gospel, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark wants you to have no doubts as to what is coming. All the ups and downs that are going to come, all of the questioning. He wants you to start with this baseline. Whatever else you read, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Don't forget. So why are we doing a series about Mark at all? Right? I sometimes like to do topical series where we talk about, you know, in the spring we talked about what it means to be community and we looked at different places in Scripture where it talks about that. Obviously, at Christmas time, we're hearing the Christmas story from different places. But I think it's also good for us sometimes just to work through a book, right? So that I'm not always directing things, right? That we get to hear some passages that are going to make us uncomfortable, as well as the passages that we love, and a bit of a mix. And I'll be honest, I don't often go to Mark. Because I love context. I want as much detail as someone's willing to give me. I want to hear about all the ins and outs. And Mark just doesn't quite do it for me often, right? He condenses his stories, like I said with the kids. He tells a story in three stories in 13 verses when Matthew takes 28. I'll go to Matthew. I want to hear those extra details. But there's something about Mark. So Mark is the shortest gospel. We think it's the first one that was written. And he is known for using the word ephthys in Greek, which gets translated as at once or immediately, things like that. And he uses it 47 times in his 16-chapter book. Everything is at once, immediately, at once, immediately. He is constantly on the move. Jesus is moving all the time. And as I said, he's telling these stories in these very condensed ways, which means we hear them together in ways that we don't sometimes in the other Gospels, right? How many times, if you come to church a lot, how many times have you heard the introduction of John, the baptism of Jesus, and the temptation of the wilderness all in one Sunday? That's a lot, right? That's normally 3 weeks, right? And when we hear them together, sometimes we hear them differently. So my hope is over this fall, and we're going to stay in Mark all the way until we get to Advent. And then depending on how we feel, we might pick it back up in January. But we're going to at least do it until the end of November. And we're going to maybe look for what might inspire us to get moving again. Right? So as we come maybe out of a quieter time in the summer for some of us, maybe not for all, as we get back into activities for those who have kids, as we get back into maybe school or work or different routines, what does it mean for us as St. Stephen's to get moving and to get going and to be acting where God is calling us to act? And how might Mark perhaps encourage us to do so? So I've called the series Good News on the Move. And that's what I'm hoping we're going to hear this fall. So as I said, we have three stories here, and really what we read today is Mark's prologue. It's kind of, if you read it and then read what comes next, it has a bit of a different feel to it. And one of the things is he's talking about stuff that the general public didn't necessarily know about. So he's kind of giving us, as I said, like this overarching view of what it is he wants to teach before he gets into the specifics of all the stories he's going to tell. And this is what he thinks you need to know. He thinks you need to know that the Old Testament wrote about Jesus, and of course about John, before he was born. So Jesus isn't a surprise. He's not someone who's come out of left field. This is someone who's been predicted all the way through the Old Testament. So he quotes Isaiah, right? Isaiah has the most Messiah-type prophecies of any of the prophets in the Old Testament. So he quotes Isaiah. And he wants us to know that God tore open the heavens to create this connection with Jesus when he was baptized, to tell him that he delights in him. So there's this interaction between God and Jesus that happened at the very beginning of his ministry. Mark wants you to know that, that this connection between God and Jesus is important, and it's special, and it's unique. And he wants us to know that Jesus went through real temptation in the wilderness. He wasn't just this guy who had life easy, who was walking on the simple track and never had to worry about anything. Before he ever went and taught people about sin, he experienced temptation. And he wants to make sure that is our foundation for everything else he tells. Now, each of those pieces are important. It's interesting that they come together, but today we get to celebrate a baptism. So I'm going to focus on that section in the middle where Jesus is baptized. And the first thing that we hear, and I haven't always noticed this, so when you picture this story that Madeline read for us that we've heard before about Jesus being baptized, and the heavens tore open, and the Spirit descended like a dove, and the voice of God speaks, what is that like for you? Is everyone around experiencing this sudden parting of the heavens and this descendant of the dove? Does everybody hear God's voice in your mind when you imagine this? For me, it certainly does. But what's interesting is what Mark says is he saw the heavens open. And God says, "You are singular, my son." So it's possible, we don't really know, we weren't there, that this was actually a private moment for Jesus, one that he recalled later to his disciples, rather than a public viewing of who he was. It's Jesus who saw the heavens torn open and God descending like a dove. It's Jesus who heard these words, "You are my son, in you I am well pleased." This is a private, intimate moment that we're getting to get a glimpse of. Because Jesus thought it was important to share, and so did Mark. The second thing is that the heavens were torn open. There's a certain energy to it, and there's a finality to it. So Ezekiel, when Ezekiel hears God's voice, the heavens are opened to Ezekiel. But they're opened in a way that can be closed. Here, when we talk about the heavens being torn open, the word used really means rip or tear. And if you've ever torn a hole in your pants or your shirt or your dress, you know that those can be hard to fix, and they're never quite the same again. When Jesus is baptized, God has changed something permanently. There is something lasting about the tearing open of the heavens so God Spirit can descend upon Jesus. And do you notice we have the whole Trinity there? God is speaking, Jesus is baptizing, and the Spirit is descending. All three in one place, making something new. And then we have my favorite part of this story. These words that God speaks to Jesus. "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." That word, well pleased, we could also translate as delighted. "I am delighted in you," God says to Jesus. And I love this because, I don't know if you've noticed, but at this point in the story for Mark, Jesus hasn't spoken yet. Jesus hasn't taught yet. Certainly Jesus hasn't died yet. Jesus has come to the water to repent and be baptized. And God says, I delight in you. You are my son. He claims Jesus for his own and tells him how proud he is of him before he's done anything, that we might say might merit that kind of claim. And I love that because Jesus is supposed to be our model. He's the one we're supposed to look to when we're not quite sure what to do. And God says to Jesus, before he's done anything, I delight in you. Which means each of us can be invited to hear the same thing. God says to you, you are my child. I delight in you. I am well pleased with you. Now that doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. Jesus was perfect. We can't do everything he did. But it means that before we do anything to try and earn God's favor, he already delights in us. And that's remarkable. That's amazing. For me, that's so encouraging. And of course, Mark doesn't want us to stop there. In probably the shortest account of the temptation, we get two verses, right? And Mark says, and then the Spirit immediately, there's our first use of the word, immediately the Spirit took Jesus off to the desert where he was tempted by Satan, and he was surrounded by wild animals, and he was tended to by angels. And that's it. If you want the details of what happened in the desert, of the questions that Satan asked him, and of how he replied, you got to go to the other Gospels. But Mark wants you to know that he was pleased with Jesus first, but that didn't take him away from temptation, that didn't take him away from the possibility of sin. It just meant that God's love was the foundation before any of that could happen. And one of the reasons why Jesus was able to make it through that was because he had that foundation, right? He had that love of God, that Spirit of God on him and with him through the temptations he experienced in the wilderness. And the beautiful thing is, so do we. When we go through those times in life where we don't think we can manage, when we go through those difficult moments, whether they're a single night or a prolonged period or long-term illness that lasts all of our lives, God is with us from that moment that he said he was well pleased with us, which happens before we do anything else. It's one of the reasons I love that we do infant baptism. It's a means of grace. It's a means of God's grace coming on to a young one who has done nothing to earn it, right? Ambrose has not done any great noteworthy thing in order to earn his parents' love or his grandparents' love, but you give it. He hasn't done anything noteworthy to earn the love of this congregation, but he has it. He hasn't done anything to earn God's love, and yet God found him precious and delightful from the moment he was born. Even before that, he helped knit him together in his mother's womb. It's beautiful. It's grace in action. It's grace without us having to do anything to earn it. It's not grace without cost, because Jesus paid great cost for it. But it is grace without us having to earn it. And so we are invited to live a life of gratitude and a life of being part of God's family, which we are going to invite Ambrose into in a moment. But first, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your love and your grace. It seems incredible that you would delight in us, even with all of our sins and failings, and yet you do, just as you delighted in Jesus from the very beginning. Help us, God, to accept that delight, to live out that delight, and to share it with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.